and welcome to episode 13 of the Tech Surge podcast. I am your host, Guillermo Ortiz, and today's episode, before we get into the news, there's a few stories regarding Apple and a phone launch, I believe, in today's news. But before we do get into that, I just want to say, this episode is being released on a Saturday. I did say in the last episode that all episodes were going to be released on Fridays. But, it's just this one's going to be released on the Saturday. I came back from vacation yesterday quite late at night, so I couldn't really record. And I don't leave things recorded in time, because of course news might come out and I need to be on top of the news for that particular day. So I don't record in advance and then upload it on the corresponding day. I don't really do that. So that's why it's being released on a Saturday. Hopefully you guys will still hear it either way. But before we start again with the news, I just want to say a quick note regarding a YouTuber I've been watching. I said that really weird there. A YouTuber I've been watching. If you guys know, I am Spanish by origin. From origin, I am from Spain. Did move to Shanghai about 10 years ago out of work reasons, essentially. And so, lived here all my life, pretty much. Still keep up with Spanish YouTubers, basically. So there's one guy that I've been watching called David Morganson. If you do know Spanish, I'll leave his channel in the description. You can go check him out. He's a very fluent speaker. He's a very clear speaker. He talks about technology and different topics surrounding technology. He had a huge video on the screen protectors. He had a huge video that blew up about tech channels in Spain, and he called them basically advertisement channels, or channels that, you know, they don't really tell you what a device is really like because you're getting paid by the company to say nice things about them. And I've made that mistake of watching these sort of tech advertisement channels, or he calls them publitubers, which is pretty accurate, basically means ad channels. I made that mistake. I watched a bunch of their videos. I actually followed them for a lot of years, and now I'm starting to really see the truth. So I thank him for opening my eyes and the eyes of a lot of people to the truth. I mean, hidden publicity or hidden advertisements in YouTube channels is very dangerous, because, you know, the consumer is not getting what it seems like. What the YouTuber or the influencer is saying, you know, because these companies basically take influencers, they take them on trips to Paris or to Brazil or wherever the launch event is at that time for that product, and then they pay them, the plane, the food, and the hotel, and maybe an extra bonus just so they can essentially say nice things about the phone that perhaps aren't true, and it's very easy marketing for them, for the companies, because obviously a lot of people watch these channels. I mean, Topestama in particular has around 2.3 million subscribers, and they get a lot of people flocking in to watch their videos. So yeah, I just want to make that very clear. Sort of opened my eyes over the past week listening to his videos. So leave his channel in the description. If you do know Spanish, go check him out. If not, then go check him out anyway, so maybe you can turn on the captions or the subtitles or whatever. But yeah, just a quick note on that. And let's get on to the two main topics, I suppose. In my opinion, I mean, I don't always pick every single bit of news. I pick what I like to be the best news, or the most interesting news to me. So the first one is, of course, you would have known that the Moto G7 series finally launched. It was released in Brazil, and it has four well, the series contains four devices in the line. It has the standard Moto G7. It has your G7 Plus. So those are the top-end phones. Say top-end, but not really. Then on the lower-end side, you have your G7 Power and your G7 Play. Now, I remember back to the days of the original Moto G phones, and I had an original, as I said, I think previously, and that phone was amazing for the price, and it was just one phone for the masses. And that concept, when Motorola was under Google, was really pushed up until, I want to say, the Moto G3 or Moto G4. It was just one phone for the masses, and it was a great phone. Good mid-range phone. Value for money was great. It was one of the best phones for value for money. And I feel like that's sort of gone away recently. Started with the Moto G5 when they introduced, you know, already then the Moto G5 was a very convoluted phone. You had the G5, the G5S, the G5S Plus, and the G5 Plus, something like that. Just, that's not good for consumers, you know. They're not going to identify the differences between each, and they just want one basic phone, at least the average consumer, not the niche sort of tech people like us, or like, I suppose, the people who are listening to this podcast, most of them at least. So they sort of started screwing up there, and, you know, the chipsets were 625s in those G5s, which, again, is pretty old chipset for 2017 already, but, you know, it was still viable, it's still passable. I mean, my Mi A1 has a 625. It's still a viable chipset. It's not like it's slow as hell or anything, but yeah, already the naming convention started to sort of get confusing. And then in 2017, or 2018, yeah, 2018, they released the G6 series. And, you know, I felt that with the G6, it was an improvement over the G5. The G6, the normal G6 was darn good, and the G6 Plus and the G6 Play was a lower-end and a high-end phone, but that had the 450 in it, and the pricing on those devices, I mean, it didn't equate to the processor inside. You know, the value for money was just lost, and now, especially with Chinese offerings like Xiaomi and Oppo, Vivo offering in-display fingerprint sensors, for example, like the Oppo K1, a water drop display, which in fairness, the G7 does have, but an in-display fingerprint scanner, and for a lot less, a much better chipset for a lot less. I mean, if we look at the G7 series, the G7 Power and the G7 Play are rocking Qualcomm Snapdragon 632s, I believe that's a 632s on the low-end devices. They're all on 632s except the Plus. Oh, no, sorry. I'm just looking through the specs. I'm kind of confused. Actually, only one of them has a 636, and that's the G7 Plus. So the G7 Plus, which is the top-of-the-line phone, 636, clocked at 1.8 gigahertz, 4 gigabytes of RAM, 64 gigabytes of storage, dual camera setup, 12 and 2 megapixel cameras at the back, and a 3000 milliamp hour battery. The power also comes with a 632. The standard G7 comes with a 632. The Qualcomm Snapdragon 632, and the Play comes with 632 as well. So they all come with a 632 except for the G7 Plus, which comes with a 636. I mean, if we look at the price of the G7 Plus, the G7 Plus is going to cost 300 euros, which is ridiculous. It's ridiculous. I mean, you have a 636 in there, which is an aging chip, and you can get a Redmi Note 7 for cheaper, that I believe has a 660. You can get the K1 for cheaper, which is 660 as well. you can get a bunch of phones for cheaper, which have either the same or better performance or processor. And then you can ROM them, or you can, yeah, you can custom ROM them. You can flash a custom ROM and make stock Android possible on all of them. And it's not the hardest process in the world. If you know, if you follow the steps, there's plenty of tutorials on YouTube. You can take your Xiaomi Redmi Note 5 and turn it into a stock Android device using Lineage or any of the stock ROMs. So I don't think they're bang for your buck at all, these devices. They used to be very good, but now it's just kind of sad just seeing them down like this. If we look at the G7 Play, it's got 2 gigs of RAM, 720p display, 5.7 inch. I mean, from the people that are watching, from the people that were at in Brazil or at the event, the 720p displays don't look too bad on the Play and the Power. There is 32 gigabytes of internal storage in the microSD card slot on the Power and the Play. Again, the Power and the Play are the lower end devices. I don't really understand the Power. It's sort of in that middle ground. It's bigger than the Play, but it's basically the same thing. It's a 632, one more gigabyte of RAM. And it's got a better camera on the back from 8 to 12. But it's kind of like this middle ground, which I don't know why. I just didn't think there was a market there. I think that you'd either go for the G7 Play, which is the bare bones basic. I would have put maybe a 10 megapixel camera on the back. And then a... Oh, no, sorry. There's a 13 megapixel shooter on the back on the Play. And there's a 12 megapixel shooter on the Power. Oh, the aperture is actually better on the Power. Again, it just makes no sense. I would have gotten rid of the Power, maybe upgraded the Play a little bit, maybe to have the, I don't know. No, actually, it's fine. Maybe one more gig of RAM to 3, and that's it. Have the Play, have the standard G7, and have the slightly better G7 Plus. Although, I don't know why you would go for the G7 Plus. It's the same screen. It's just that this one has a 636, and the Plus is a 636, and the Pro, not the Pro, the standard has the 632. So, the difference is quite negligible when it comes to performance with those two. It is true that there's slightly better optics on the Plus than the G7, but again, it's just not, it's not palpable enough. And for 300 euros... it's a bit of a bank robbery to get the Plus. I mean, the G7, you can still just about justify it. I believe the G7 costs around... $299. Yeah, $300. So, I could see that. But again, you can get better deals. You really can. Xiaomi phones, the Redmi 6... Pro is a decent device. There's the new Galaxy M series just came out. The M20 is a very nice device. So there's a lot of options, but probably better processors. I still don't know why they didn't introduce on the G7 Plus. Jesus, the naming. At least a 660. I would have gone for a 710. To really differentiate it from the standard G7, because I don't think that Plus model is going to sell too well, because it's really, there's not much difference between getting your standard G7 and your G7 Plus. There's not much of an incentive to do so. Anyway, yeah, they were released Brazil. They have 4G LTE support. They do have all super slow motion at 250 FPS. And they come with Android 9 Pie running Motorola's barely visible skin. You can't call that a skin. It's essentially stock Android. And yeah, again, the G7 and the G7 Plus have a water drop notch. G7 Power, G7 Play have full size notches, especially the G7 Play has a big notch. The G7 Power has a slightly smaller but still full size, and the water drop design on the G7 and the G7 Plus. All right, so those are the G7s. And now it's sort of an Apple story. I'm not going to stick only to Android when it comes to these news. If there's an Apple story lurking, then I will talk about it. And this is the iPhone X, the very first iPhone X, the 10th anniversary iPhone X, the one that launched in 2017 and started the notch trend, essentially. But it's back on sale. It's cheaper now, obviously. Back in 2018, I believe it was September, or was it September? Whenever they released the new iPhones, the iPhone XS, iPhone XS Max, and iPhone XR, they took off the iPhone X or the iPhone X. They took it off the website, and you couldn't buy it anymore. And obviously, this was basically due to the fact, at least everyone thought that it was due to the fact they didn't want the iPhone X cannibalizing the other newer phones, like the XR, especially the XR. And the XS, but it is back. It's on the Apple Store. It is at a discounted price. Unfortunately, it is refurbished from Apple, where you can get it. You can't buy one completely new. I mean, it's not going to make much of a difference. But yeah, I still think the iPhone X is a very viable phone. I know my mother might get one because she needs a new phone. She's currently on the iPhone SE, which is doing her well, but does want to upgrade because she has SIM problems. Get into that another video of how our SIM works and whatever, but another video, another podcast. Sorry. But yeah, she might get an iPhone X. It's still a viable phone. It's still got the A11 processor. The OLED screen is still as good as ever. Dual camera is still very good. Again, it's still a fantastic phone to get refurbished or secondhand or even new. There's a bunch on eBay for a pretty low price. There's a bunch on Taobao and Jingdong where I am for a pretty low price. So, you know, it is on the Apple website again. It is selling refurbished. Unfortunately, even though it is not $1,000 for obvious reasons, it's not, the discounts aren't that good at all. So your base model on the Apple website is $770, which is nothing. Not much of a discount at all, considering that the iPhone XR is, what, $750? $750? It's even more. You just get a XR at that point. Let me actually check the pricing of the XR. Because, you know, some people might like that OLED screen. A lot of people might like the camera, the dual camera set. I don't know why it took me so long to say that. The dual camera setup on the back, obviously, was introduced then. Still great. I mean, I know on the XR you can get it for, you know, with one camera, that effect, but it's not the same. And yes, effectively, the iPhone XR is $750, and the iPhone XS is $769. So the processor is better on the XR. It's the A12. The construction is better on the X. OLED screen better on the X. But I mean, I don't know why people are saying OLEDs are better than IPS panels. I mean, in some ways they are, but burn-in. Anyway, it's not about that. You can get it refurbished, but again, I've seen these on eBay and I've seen these on other websites like Swappa for a lot cheaper than $770. My God. Seen these for around $600, maybe even $500. Heck, on PSC classifieds, I've seen them ranging the £600 mark various times, even the £500 mark, but less rare. And I like that it's back, I suppose, but I don't think many people will buy it refurbished, especially when you can get that $750 iPhone XR, which is, even though I do have problems with it, I have seen them in hand now. I have played with them a bit, and the screen isn't as bad as you would think for an 828p LCD panel, even though, you know, at first I was extremely skeptical. And The final story, I suppose, is about this, again, to do with Apple. And it's about the third iPhone camera for the 2019 iPhone, which will obviously come out around September, October, that sort of thing. Just a bunch of rumors about it. There was a pretty ugly sort of render or rumor from EvLeaks, I believe, who is a very reliable source of leaking, and it showed the iPhone with this pretty darn ugly camera module that resembled the Mate 20 camera module, except it was on the right instead of on the center, which looked really darn horrible. But you would expect next year's iPhone to have another camera, at least the high-end model. I don't know if it's going to be called the 11 or the 11S, but the rumors do point to a sort of a similar design, do point to a smaller notch. Of course, you would still have Face ID, I suppose, and a switch to USB-C, which is the most exciting part, because if you're like me and you have an Apple product, or you have some of the Apple products, and you know that if you have an Android phone and it charges USB-C and your computer charges via USB-C, and you've got everything via USB-C, it's just the most annoying thing to have another cable just for that product that is Lightning. So I would definitely welcome the switch to USB-C. Lightning is quite outdated at this point. Data transfer speeds are better on USB-C. But yeah, the iPhone 11 Max would have three cameras on the back, and we don't know what it's going to do yet, I suppose. So Apple did originally say it was going to be a 3D camera system, or they said they were working on one, but apparently not going to be that either. I would welcome a monochrome. I'd welcome better wide angle. And apparently there's going to be improvements in Face ID. It'll be up to 15 feet of range instead of having it to put it closer to your face. So that would be nice. And we really don't know. The rumors are there's going to be a wide angle. And it will only come on the Max model, which is understandable considering that the Max model, you know, is the most expensive one in the bunch at the moment, and it would get the most features, just like the Mate 20 Pro, Mate 20 hierarchy. However, they're going to be, I mean, if they raise the price, hope they don't, but you know, they probably will. People who buy the iPhone 11 normal might be kind of disappointed that they're paying that much money and not getting that third camera, and if features are scarce, they can be really disappointed when they're not getting that third camera, because it won't be much else. But yeah, that's essentially all the Apple news for today. That's enough for today. I find it extremely boring reading about Apple news. Personally, I'm more of an Android fan, but there it is. That's at least for me the most significant news. There was an iCloud leak, but that's sort of died down. Sort of FaceTime bug where, not an iCloud leak, a FaceTime bug where FaceTime would apparently allow callers to eavesdrop on other people when they weren't, you know, while they were on the call screen and they weren't actually in the call. And Apple patched it, and you know, they got flagged by lawmakers in the U.S. It's a whole different sort. It's more about the lawmakers and the laws and everything, and it's not really too much about tech, more than it is about a tech company and law. So I didn't decide to cover it on this episode, but you can go read it yourself. I'll leave the article in the description with all three stories. I'll leave the email as usual. Haven't received any feedback yet at all. Zero emails. I'll still leave it there while the website is being worked on. Should be done pretty darn soon. And every time I say that, it gets pushed back. But it's not easy, as I said. Making a website from scratch, I've decided to not use website builders, if anything. Because you know, I've seen all of them, and they want you to pay a bunch of money. And they don't really give you that much in the free version either. So I've decided to you know, I narrowed it down to either get someone to make one for me, because I don't know how to code, or to just start learning how to make a basic website. I did one back in grade 7 when I learned basic HTML. So I might relearn that, see how it goes. But I want it to be a darn good website. I don't want to rush and take, you know, 2 weeks and be done with it. I want it to be a long-term project, just like this podcast. So, yeah, thank you for listening to this episode of the Tech Surge Podcast. I've been your host, Guillermo Ortiz, and catch you next time on episode 14 of the Tech Surge Podcast.